So many times as a pastor, you get one day, Thanksgiving weekend, you know, and you're just supposed to articulate everything about a thankful heart that you can in one 30-minute sermon. And how many know that's a big topic for a 30-minute segment? And so I want to take a couple of three sermons. And today I want to start with the first one in Luke chapter 17, the power of a thankful heart. By the time of the series is over, I want you to be transformed by an attitude of gratitude. I want you to be moved by that. I want you to be thankful, aware of, conscious about a thankful heart. It's tied to a faith-filled heart. That's what I believe. Somebody just say thank you. That's a good warm-up. Verse 11, now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then, as he entered a certain village, don't tell us what it is, but it's there, he met 10 men met him. Who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, I'm really glad Jesus knows how to see you. He sees you. In the crowd, he sees you. When you're alone, he sees you. He saw them and he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. This is kind of awkward. I've never seen Jesus do this before. This is one of the first times that he says this response, go show yourselves to the priests. And we'll get into it today and talk to you about it. And I underlined this. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. They were healed. And one of them, somebody shout one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, hey, I can see with a tear running down his face. I hope you get the narrative. I want you to get into the picture, get into the lesson. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Father God, we love you today. Bless this word. May somebody understand what it means to not just receive a healing, but to know the healer. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Gratitude. It's more than just saying thank you. And I hope by the end of this time together and in the next couple of sermons that we go beyond just a thank you. You got to go beyond that. A thank you is surface. In America, we thank God for our food. Lord, bless this food we're about to receive and our bounty and you're healthy for our body. And we go to, and it just gets so routine, it just gets so mundane. And I'm glad you say grace. I hope you say it publicly. I hope people can hear you. You ought to tap your glass and say, everybody, listen, Jesus, thank you for this steak. Marty fed me a steak this week. It's bigger than my head. I couldn't hardly eat it. I felt ashamed. I couldn't eat the steak. He blessed us. He always does. But how many know you ought to have a thankful spirit? But got to go beyond thank you. It's an attitude. It's actually a posture of worship. It's a posture. It's something that goes with you everywhere you go. It's not just when you get something, you know. And, you know, we all grew up, hopefully, down in the South, we grew up where you said thank you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. Please. May I? Mother, may I? Anybody ever play Mother, may I? Take two steps, you know. No? You poor people. We need to get a gathering and show y'all some of the things that life has to offer you. Going beyond thank you. It's a posture of worship, but it's also a perspective of faith. Thank you is just, it's not just saying thank you. It's tied to your faith-filled heart. And so in the text, we find many times people focus when they preach this on the 9 who didn't return. But I feel like today I want to just deal with that one, with that one. You know, we can get a negative sermon today and say, oh, you're just nothing but old grouch and you're never thankful and you're always bad attitude. But listen, let's focus on the one. Let's see the difference and the contrast between the 9 and the 1. and see what it really means to have a perspective of faith and a posture of worship. If you're taking notes, Max, it's only 2 points. It's two. And there they are. Now forget about it. Let's talk to you. And so thanks. And I get it. How many know the nine should have given thanks? The nine should have returned. They should have had a heart of gratitude. But I want to consider the one who did and give not only thanks to Jesus, but fell and worshiped. And I feel like I have a prophetic word for somebody here today. As you go, be made whole. You know, we don't hear a lot of prophetic preaching anymore, but I got a word for you today from the Lord. You receive it if it's you. As you go, be made whole. There's more to life than just asking God for everything that you need. It's a moving through life with an attitude, a posture of worship all the time. All 10 of these lepers shared the same disease, leprosy. And all 10 of them received the same miracle healing. But only one allowed himself to be transformed by gratitude. And so I want us to take a look today beyond the thank you and see what happened. Leprosy, I can't even deal with it today without dealing with the effects of leprosy. Leprosy was a death sentence. No hope. No hope for a cure. Way back in Naaman's day, there was no hope in the Old Testament. And there were in the Old Testament lepers, obviously. Levitical law taught some principles, and the Word of God gave some methodologies for cleansing if you get healed of leprosy. But very rarely, there was no cure. It was a death sentence with no hope. And all 10 of them suffered from the same disease. All are cast out of the city, could no longer be in the city, could no longer be in your home with your family, could no longer be in the temple with the people that you love and your worship. You were cast out, an outcast from the community. No communication with the public. Nothing to look forward to, no feast, no time at church, no nothing. It's you talk about a COVID and a kind of quarantine. These people were quarantined for life sentence, without any of the things that they had. No more hugs, no more love, no more. If your kids, your little daughter got this disease, infection, leprosy, she's put out of the city, put out. And they congregated with all the other lepers. And that's where they were. Their faces were distorted. Their body parts are falling off. I don't want to get too gross. Or one of the first things to go were the extended farthest parts of your body, your fingers and your toes. The blood, I don't know how the effects of leprosy, but just starts to rot. Starts to rot. Many times they lose their fingers, lose their toes. Then it would go to their nose and their lips, and they're lying flat on their face, exposing their teeth and their gums. The bones begin to rot and break as they become brittle. It's horrible, and they become mummy-like zombies. And you could try to hide it and cover it for a while when you first get diagnosed, but you know, but eventually it takes over everything. It's a type of sin in Scripture. I mean, the Scripture many times typifies leprosy and sin. Why? Because there's no cure for sin except Jesus. Are you hearing me? There's no cure. You can go to the counselor, you can go to the church, you can go everywhere, but you know what? If you don't get Jesus in your life, you got a death sentence, a second death sentence, actually. So eventually it takes over all types. It affects your feet. It affects how you walk. It affects how you talk. You begin to become what you have. And now your identity is, I am a leper. I'm a leper. I'm a loner. I live with lepers. I can't go back to the temple. I'm not wanted there. You start getting an attitude. Nobody wants me over there. Nobody loves me no more. I'm outcast. And the old you is dying. Maybe you loved God. Maybe you were in the temple worshiping God, and then you got diagnosed with this leprosy. Now you're nothing. Your life is dying and losing your convictions, and now you accept it. I am a leper. But I came to tell you, that's what sin does to a person. I mean, there's a whole world of people out there who are affected with sin, like leprosy. outcasts and outside and don't feel welcome and don't feel loved and can't have never felt the expression of love and don't know what it's like to be loved. Is anybody hearing me? And they're separated in colonies to live with those like them, separated from their family and from God and from the church of God. In fact, the leper no longer feels welcome. They're more uncomfortable in a world where life is than they are in a world where darkness and death is. They become what they think they are. Their identity changes. I am a leper. But then they hear some good news. Is anybody ready to get to the good news? They heard Jesus was coming to town. I said they heard about Jesus. Because over in chapter 5, Jesus touched a leper. Jesus touched a leper. The only person other than that I ever heard of that touched a leper was Mother Teresa. She's in Calcutta, and she's walking with the priest of the Calcutta from the New York diocese, walking with Mother Teresa. And Steve Donaldson told me that they were walking along, and the cardinal priest, whatever he was, he said, look what's going on, Mother Teresa. What are you doing? And she had a leper on her lap, and she's rubbing his head, and she's hollering, I found him! I found him! And the cardinal said, you found who? She said, I found Jesus. For whatever you do to the least of these, you've done it to me. A leper. Didn't deserve it, they felt. Never experienced it, but Jesus touched this leper. Come on, church, the only hope for this world is a touch from Jesus. Amen, they heard. And how many know faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God? So Jesus touched a leper, and word got out that he touched a leper because Jesus touches the untouchable. So these 10 lepers ran. I'm trying to paint a picture. I'm trying to give you the narrative so you can get into the story, okay? This is not 10 men in a suit all together, walking cool, you know, celebrity preachers coming to Jesus. No, these are 10 lepers, and they're running, and they're running. Are they running? Are they able to run? Do they have toes? Do they have hands? Do they have arms? They ran to the village, stubbed toes, no nose, bloody ears. They ran, 10 of them, straight to Jesus. Some blind, maybe, that affects your seeing. Zombies running to Jesus. That's what I think. That's what I think that's going on in the world today. Zombies who need to run after Jesus. But they don't want to go because they've been forsaken. They felt like they maybe are not welcome. How many know we need to open the door to sinners to come to the house of the Lord? I mean, where else are they going to find hope? Where else are they going to experience the love of God? How many know the church doesn't have to be the world, but they have to love them? Hate sin, love the sinner. I said, hate sin, love the sinner. And that's leprosy. It's so real. And Jesus hears them from afar off. Obviously, you know the story. They had to run around saying unclean, shouting unclean, unclean. Don't get around me. I'll defile you. Then you'll be defiled. So they came to the edge of the village, and they began to scream, all 10 of them, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Sound like blind Bartimaeus. Remember him? Same kind of reaction. Jesus hears him screaming. They knew his name, but they didn't know the reality of who he was. They knew it was Jesus. They might even knew he was a healer. But they didn't know the reality who he really was. And there's a lot of church-going people out there today who they heard about church and they heard about Jesus and they don't really know the reality. How many know he's more than a healer? He's more than a rabbi. He's the Son of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. He's Jesus. I said he's Jesus. And he is in town, and they're screaming, and he sees them, and he heard them, and they used the word master, meaning high status or leader. But to them, he was a healer, not a creator. I mean, the one that created you is ought to be able to heal you. Amen? And so no one could do anything about leprosy from the beginning. And look what Jesus did here. He said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't go to a 10-step conference, no gimmicks, no fads. He didn't have, you know, a flash in the pan, no magic tricks, no gold dust, no holy zap. I mean, there's a whole lot of shenanigans. How many know what a shenanigan is? The young culture is like, what is a shenanigan, Mom? Go home and look it up. Google it. I wonder if it will come up. What is a shenanigan? Maybe not. Maybe don't do that. A shenanigan. Nobody knows what a shenanigan is, but a lot of gimmicks. How many know there's a lot of gimmicks out there? Disguising to be the power of God. Like Simon the Sorcerer would like to use the glory and power of God to make a name for himself. But that's not Jesus. No. Just a command. Go show yourself to the priest. That's it. In the condition you're in, get to God's house. Just like you are, go to the temple. That's it. Simple. If you want a miracle, get to the house of God. It's all you got to do. Head that way. Now listen, they had a choice from that moment. All 10 of them had a choice from that moment. If I choose to go back to the colony, or I can head to God's house where the man of God told me to go. And by faith, that's why I said gratitude is tied to your faith. And in your condition, if you're going to don't, the doctor can't help you, the counselor can't help you, just go see the priest. Maybe he put some hope in their heart. I don't know. Maybe he did. But just go to the priest. Go see the priest. It's just amazing that if you get to God's house, God's got maybe something for you there. I mean, if you'll make an effort to get to God's house this morning, how many believe God may have something for you here? If the presence of the Lord is here, anything is possible in God's house. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, look, 24, it says, hey, as the day of the Lord approaches, you should get to God's house. It's imperative that there's some great things that happen in the temple. Amen? And so maybe you need a reminder here of Leviticus 14. As the lepers came to the priest, they came for examination. Go see the priest was not the priest is going to help you. The priest is going to examine you and your condition. Okay, so go to the priest. Go see the priest. And so in Leviticus 14, they would stand at the entrance of the tabernacle and they could only put their head and their right hand and their right foot across the threshold. Okay, can't go in. Okay, but you're at the priest, you're at the temple, at the tabernacle, and you could put your head in, your right hand in. It was like the hokey pokey. Y'all are too serious. You put your right hand in, you take your right hand, say it all. Never mind. Let me just keep preaching. I messed up the whole thing. They went to the entrance of the temple, the tabernacle, and they put their head in, the right hand, and the right foot at the same time across the threshold in order to have the blood and the oil, which was the guilt offering instructions of Leviticus 14, applied by the priests. And all at once, according to the Mishnah, which is the rabbi writing, the extra writings of the Old Testament, and the priests would put the blood on the tip of their right ear, the lobe. And then they would put the blood on the thumb of the right hand and on the right big toe of the right foot. How many know obedience is important? Say, why don't you just cover me with the blood? How many know God has a plan? And the Bible has some real significant things about the tip of the ear, the thumb on the right hand, and the foot, the right toe, the big right toe. And so they did. And then the leper was now fully able to take part in societal privileges again without defiling anything or anyone. And so the baby girls went home. Mama, I'm clean. I'm clean. I've been away. I've been away for years, but now I'm home. I'm clean, Mama. Husbands, we go home. Baby, I'm clean. I've been waiting to hug you for so long. I've been delivered. I mean, it's an awesome thing to be delivered by God. I mean, there's power in the blood. And it touched them. It touched them. And it cleansed them. And the priest confirmed it. And those who now were shouting unclean are shouting, I am clean. What a great day. What a great day. And they now have a right. He touched the right earlobe.
Because now they have another right again to hear the word of God again. Now I can hear the word of God again. I get to go to the temple again.
Hey, don't despise the privilege, the opportunity of going to the house of the Lord. God to speak to you today. Don't just stay home because you didn't have anything else to do or it's easy not to go. You make it a habit to get to the house of the Lord. For God's still speaking. Let him touch your ear. Let him touch it. Let it open your ear to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. The right ear. And then the right thumb. Scholars took these three body parts and they said there's some things. The right earlobe. I can go to God's house again. I can hear God's word again. He touched my ears. Now I can hear. The right thumb meant I'm free to serve God again. I couldn't grip nothing. I couldn't do nothing. Fingers were all mangled and falling off and skin and just gross and just, I couldn't touch anything. Couldn't do anything for God. But now I'm free. And now I can work for God. I can work for my family again. He's given me my life back. The blood has touched my thumb. I can grip and get a hold of life again. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, he said, my big toe, my right toe. Huh. Man, I can walk again. I can walk without a limp. I can walk in the ways of God. I walk in the will of God. I don't have to limp around and fumble around and crawl around. I am made whole. Completely healed by the power of the blood. So the ceremony was meant to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. You need spiritual help. And I love this. As they went along the way, as they chose to make a decision to obey God, the Lord cleansed them, healed them. Hey, they were healed on the way. If you will just make one small step toward obedience, how many know God will start the process of healing your life? If you just go back to the colony, believe what you think you were and what everybody said you were and believe all the identity issues and believe your confusion. I mean, you got to believe what Jesus said. Go to the house of the Lord. I'll meet you there. Because he's truly the high priest. Amen. It takes obedient faith to do what Jesus said to do. Let me just say, getting back to God's house is a good place to start. Sometimes getting clean is a process. Start back to church. Just head that way. I know people say, man, in January oftentimes, like going to the gym, I'm going to start going back to church. I mean, no, that's a good place to start. It's not the stopping place. Some people have been in church all their life, but never got completely healed. It's a starting place. God will meet you there. You have to have faith. Engage that. Just go. I don't know, but I can imagine that as they walked together, they felt their sores start to dry out. Felt their bones cracking. I don't know what was going on, but something was taking place. It was obvious. It was probably visible. Healing. I believe I'm being healed. Something started in the process. You just obey Jesus and miracles happen. They started realizing it, and they were being healed. I'm sure they started shouting and believing and dancing. The sores are gone. It's starting to heal up. And on the way home from the temple, they were crying, Mama, I'm healed. Honey, I'm delivered. Hugging each other. And for the first time, they never thought they could ever, ever see the touch of a person again. They excited. They all went home except one. They all went home, but one of them said, no, I'm going to go back to the one who healed me. The Bible says he returned to where Jesus was, and he fell on his face, and he began to give him glory and honor and worship and praise. It caught the attention of Jesus. Not everybody came to church today to give him glory. I said, not everybody came to give him thanks. They were excited. I get that. I'm not here to bash denying. But when he saw, listen, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and went to Jesus and glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving
him thanks.
And Jesus said, with that tear in his eyes, "Where's the nine? Where's the nine? I'm glad you're here, buddy. Welcome. There's something different about you. These nine missed out on something. Can I talk about it a little bit? Do you mind if I talk about what the nine missed out on?" My, I don't know if you can hear. And Jesus has the audacity to say, "Where's the nine?" And then furthermore, he finishes it with, "And he's a Samaritan." Is it an insinuation that the other nine were Jews? Come on now. These are my people. This is a Samaritan. Except he has something the nine didn't have. Oh my, can you hear him praising? "Thank you, Lord. My nose was gone, but God. My lips were flattened on my face, showing my teeth. I looked like a mummy. I couldn't feel my feet. I don't have my fingers. I can't hardly get around. I couldn't hear. I couldn't see. But you cleansed me. Thank you, Lord." How many know you got to get a thankful heart? You got to realize how much he took care of you and how much he brought you out of. They didn't all realize that. What's happening here is the leper is not only worshiping God for what he's done, but for who he is. He understood this kind of worship is different. This is leper worship. I mean, when you get something from God, you learn how to really worship. This is not casual worship. This is not pseudo worship. This is not fabricated, superficial. This is real. I said, this is real. But who he is. Come on, church. This is a leper. The leper got it. It was Jesus, Messiah, the only hope. Nobody. I've been in that colony for years. Nobody and nothing. But when he touched me, I've been made whole. This is God's only son. I want you to know this worship gets God's attention. So many believers praise God for meeting the need. Thank you, Lord, for my house. Thank you for my car. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for my job. But how many know he's so much more than all of that? He's so much more than meeting your need. But this leper came to say thank you for who you are. You're my healer, my savior, my Lord. You're my strong tower, my fortress, my mighty God. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are everything. I came to say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus couldn't get over it. And he was a Samaritan. What about you boys? Can we get so indoctrinated and so religious that we forget to understand who we're here worshiping? A greater than Solomon is in the house today. He's Jesus. This is not just church. It's Jesus. Can you worship with sores all over your face? Can you worship when you can't hardly walk? Is your worship conditioned to your condition? "Well, Pastor, I don't feel well today." Worship God anyway. Not any of us feel well. How many know we've all been touched by the curse of sin? But our condition doesn't stop our worship. Our worship comes because of who he is, not for what he does. If God never answers another prayer for Ron Moran, I want you to know this. "Lord, you're worthy. Would you help me? Would you just lift your hands to the Lord and tell him, Lord, you are worthy. Lord, you are worthy. Indeed, you are worthy, God." Jesus loves this. He couldn't resist this kind of worship. "I don't know what I would do without you, Lord. You are my King. You are my risen Savior. You are my soon coming King. I love you, great Jehovah. You are Lamb of God. You are worthy, worthy because of the cross. Worthy. I'm not only cleansed, I'm healed, and I am made whole. I don't know what I would do without you, God." Jesus couldn't resist this kind of worship. The other nine people missed it. They all missed it. They went home. They went home. And maybe, why? They were excited. Maybe they missed their family. Whatever their issue was, I'm not sure. But Jesus didn't leave this one the same. The other nine went home with one ear, one hand. The effects of leprosy had taken part of them. and they couldn't get back. But this man, when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Hey, be made whole." I don't know what you think that means. I don't know what you think that means. But to me, he fell at Jesus' feet, realized that this is the Messiah. This is the only one who could ever cure sin or leprosy. Nobody ever. This is the one. And he worshiped. Jesus said, "Be thou made whole." Oh, my goodness. The word whole is sozo, meaning complete, unbroken, undivided. I'm telling you today, don't settle for a healing in your body when God has so much more for you. There's so much more than him healing you. So much more than him giving you this and giving you that. What am I saying? Life can bring pain and hurt and things can turn ugly real quickly. But whenever you start to understand, worship. Worship him in your pain. Thank him in your pain. Not saying thank you, God, for my pain. I'm just saying thank you, God, in my pain. It's a difference. It'd be psycho to thank God for your pain. But he's not just saying in these moments, he's not just saying, "I'm worshiping you for what you've done or what you're doing." I'm worshiping you for who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. You know that song? Just because of who you are. Because of who you are. Because of who you are. I live. I can have relationships again. I can go to God's house again. I can hear the word again. I can be with my family again. I can hug my children again. It's important to understand the power of gratitude and worship. For gratitude leads to favor. When you learn how to turn your praise, turn your pain into praise. Take your heaviness and make it worship. Gratitude leads to favor. So I would love to give the Lord a little praise right now. Give God some worship right now for who he is. Just lift him up. Just lift him up right now. Father God, I don't know what your people are going through. But we have stopped the middle of this service, the middle of my preaching, just to stop and say thank you. Does anybody here have a thank you in your heart? Is anybody here, can anybody here express some praise to God? Nobody before or after him could touch him, healing. No. Nobody could do that. Nobody could do that. Nobody can do what Jesus can do. This kind of miracle, only Jesus, Messiah, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Master. When you come back to worship him, all you lost can come back to you. Your health, your family, everything. Turn your pain into praise and God will bring it all back to you. Your faith has made you whole. He said, your faith. Worship leads to favor. As he's worshiping, his nose is coming back into order. He starts worshiping and wholeness is coming all over him. He's worshiping in his fingers. I don't know. Pop, 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 pop. Can you imagine? He's got all his mangled up body and feelings. He starts worshiping Jesus because he healed him from leprosy. You understand? The leprosy's gone. He's healed. But if you don't learn how to give him the praise he deserved, you may not be completely healed. Maybe you just got a healing because you never met the healer. And while they're praising, things are happening. It's all coming back. God's restoring what the enemy stole. Your worship brings healing and hope and restoration. Is anybody getting any of this? God wasn't content to just stop the leprosy and watch them limp away. The 9 limped away. They went home. All their rags and all their problems. Cleansed of leprosy, but not made whole. That's the difference. I mean, no, that's the difference worship can make with a healing. They went home with a healing. This man went home with a healer. And today, in this first lesson, I wanted to just look at the power of a grateful heart. He came back to Jesus to worship him for who he was, not just for what he did. And God wants you to hear your worship. It moves him. God's involved in the process. It moves God when you worship him. Is anybody getting this? Your praise should take you into his presence. It's where the glory is. It's where the glory is. We can create an atmosphere for glory.
through worship.
Yes, and that's why we worship.
I said, that's why we worship. It moves the Lord. It's more than just saying thank you. It's a spirit posture that recognizes God is who he said he was. And many people receive blessings from God. Few return to give him the honor that he deserves. And Jesus ends the whole thing saying, and this guy was a Samaritan. Samaritan. He received healing like the others and wholeness. Why? Because gratitude opened the door for a deeper encounter with Jesus.
Yeah. Now, I want to be generous. I'd love to be considered a giver.
I give when I want to give. I wish I was a better giver. Some of you have the gift of giving. I want to give. I like to give to people I can think would like appreciate it.
Wouldn't you like be more liberal in your giving if the people you gave to appreciated it?
If they spit in your face and I didn't need that.
Okay, well, you should have told me before I gave it to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about liberality. I'm talking about giving to God, the act of returning gratitude. If you say thank you, Brother Ron, thank you, Ron, you might get more.
I'm not throwing out $100 bills today. I'm just saying, if you say thank you, Brother Ron, you might get more candy. You know what it is? Throw me something, mister. Mardi Gras is coming back on me.
It's more than a saying thank you. It's a spirit posture. Are y'all getting this? Because gratitude opens the door for a deeper encounter. The act of returning thanks showed that he had faith and humility and reverence. It set him apart from the nine. This man. And he was a Samaritan.
I'd like to conclude just saying gratitude is a key that unlocks favor. When we develop a lifestyle of gratitude, we move just from receiving miracles to walking in transformation. We walk in transformation. Now I have a lifestyle of a thankful heart. Now I just do it liberally. Thank you. Thank you. Let's practice. One more time.
Yeah. I hope this week that when you think about this message and our series coming up, that you have a thankful heart. It goes way down deep. You know how resentment and bitterness can get deep? I pray thankful heart and gratitude would get down deep in the roots of who you are. And not only to the Lord, but to other people who bless you.
Don't just acknowledge the miracle. Worship the miracle worker. That's basically what happened here.
Chrissy, if you'll come, I think that we want to create an atmosphere.
Psalm 95, 2 and 3, or 1 through 3. Come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord, joy to the Lord. Let's shout praises to the rock who saves us. Let's come to him with thanksgiving and sing songs to him, because the Lord is the great God.
Why do you come to church? That's a good question. Why do you come to church?
Yeah, we come to glorify God. Come to hear the word of God. We come because he is the center of attention. The reason the pulpit is in the middle of the platform is not because you want to see me. It's because you want to hear the word of the Lord. How many would like for the Lord to anoint with blood the tip of your earlobe and anoint your thumb so you can get a grip on life and serving God, and then anoint your big toe so you can walk in the ways and the will and the word of God?